You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. In the slide, you'll notice it says we're going through, it looks like the whole book of Philippians. And so I hope that you brought a lunch because we're going to be here a little while. No, we're actually going to be walking through the book of Philippians, and we're going to be seeing a real-life example of how they partnered together with Paul in his missionary work. But this is a continuation of the church membership series, and we're going to be talking about our partnership in the gospel, membership, and missions. So if you look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, if you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. That's on page 1247. And let's read it together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. When I was a kid, I did Awana, and I loved doing Awana as a kid, and I wish I could tell you that the verse time was my favorite, but it was the game time. And one of my favorite games, I don't know if our Awana Clubs does this, but it was the three-legged race. So if for those of you guys who don't know what that is, it's you take two people, you tie their middle legs together, and they'd have to race around this circle. And I love this, especially when I was partnered with someone who worked well with me. There was particularly one guy on my team, and we could almost run in the three-legged race because we were just so in sync. We were moving together. We were passing and lapping other kids in the teams and laughing at them as we went. It was awesome. But sometimes I would get partnered with someone, and it wasn't such a good fit. We were both maybe trying to take the lead in the pace. They were on a different rhythm than me, and it would crash and burn as we were trying to do this three-legged race. And so what the principle is in a three-legged race, that partnership is the most important thing. It doesn't matter if I am an amazing runner and if my teammate's an amazing runner, if we're not working together, if we're not partnering together in that three-legged race. And so in our text this morning, as we go through this sermon, we're going to see that the local church and missionaries are to be working together as partners in the gospel. They're to be working together as partners in the gospel. We're on the same team working towards the same mission. And when we work together, that can be a blessing. We see that from our text in Philippians 3, 4 through 5. He says in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Just to give you a little bit of a background, Paul is an apostle, and he has been traveling around doing missionary work. And we see much of this recorded in the book of Acts. And one of the areas he goes to is the city of Philippi. And in that city, he preaches the gospel, and there are people who come to faith, and they're organized into this church of Philippi. And this church then, in turn, supports Paul as he travels to other places and takes the gospel to other churches. And we see he calls that support a partnership in verse 5. And again, later in chapter 4, we see he specifically calls them a partner, the partnership. He's so thankful for what they have together. And so when the local church and missionaries don't partner well, it can lead to disaster. I was looking at statistics about how many missionaries leave the field. And for many of them, one of the contributing factors was they were feeling isolated and unsupported. And so when churches are not partnering with missionaries well, when they think that partnership ends with sending a check, they're really setting those missionaries up for failure in a lot of ways. But we see that bad partnerships, they don't just hurt our missionaries and potentially our churches, that can hurt the cause of Christ. We have people who are willing to go to different nations to share the gospel, and then they feel unsupported, they get discouraged, and their church is not there to support and care for them. They leave the field. That is a loss, because that gospel witness that was there isn't there any longer. But in the book of Philippians, we get a picture of what a good partnership between a missionary and a local church looks like. And we're going to see as we walk through this book, Paul is very clear in this book that their support of the church in Philippi is one of the reasons that the gospel is advancing. And so my mission and my hope in looking through this is that we, as First Baptist Church of Farmington, would be a church who would partner with our missionaries well. We want to be a church that cares for our missionaries, that loves our missionaries and supports them, not just because we care about them, but because we care about the nations hearing the gospel, and because we want their work to thrive as they're doing that. So how can we be a church that partners with our missionaries well? Well, as we walk through this book of Philippians, we're going to find five ways our church can partner with our missionaries. Five ways our church can partner with our missionaries. And so as we look at the example of the church in Philippi, that's an example we can follow so that we can be an encouragement to our missionaries, just like they were to the Apostle Paul. And the first way that we can partner with our missionaries is to understand our mutual mission. Understand our mutual mission. Now, in order to have a partnership, you need to be working towards the same goal. I found this out in a hard way when I decided I was going to play on my college's intramural flag football team. I don't really know a lot about football, but I thought, oh, this will be fun. And so I wanted to go, and I was going to try to prove myself. And so we get lined up. This is like the first play. We get lined up, and I am ready. I'm gearing to go. And so then when the ball is hiked, I run as fast as I can to the end zone, and I'm wide open. And I'm like, yeah, pass it to me. And then I realized that we were actually on defense. And the guy that I was supposed to be defending was also wide open in the correct end zone. And he caught the ball, and they got a touchdown. And they did not want me to play with them again on that team. And so you see, if I literally had the wrong goal in mind, I was going in the wrong direction. And because of that, I hurt my team. And so if we're going to partner well with our missionaries, we need to make sure we're working towards the same goal. We need to make sure that we're not running in different directions. And this is very important because there's a lot of confusion over what the mission of the church is and over what missionaries should be doing. You can ask all sorts of Christians. They'll give you all sorts of answers. Well, the church should be doing this. Missionaries should be doing this and that and that. Well, we need to know, what is our primary purpose? What is our mission that we are to partner in together? And if you look back in verse 5, we get a hint of this. He says in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel. The primary purpose of our partnership is the gospel, is the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and died for our sins, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. And so we are to promote the gospel. That is our mission in the gospel together. This is the work that God has called us to, and this is humanity's greatest need. There are many needy places in the world, many needy places in the mission field where they don't have medical care, where they don't have clean water, where they don't have all these things, and missionaries can help with those things and support those things, but if they never give them the gospel, the way of salvation, then they have failed to really love those people. One of my professors in college said, when we do ministries where we care for people's needs without giving them the gospel, we essentially become a hospice for the damned. We're making people more comfortable on their way to hell. That's a very strong way to put it, but that's exactly what we're doing. What people need more than any of those physical needs met is they need their spiritual need met, that they are headed towards eternal destruction unless they turn to Christ. And so we should do good works. We should do these different things, but we shouldn't let that make us stray from the main focus of our mission to promote the gospel. Now, what does it look like to be partners in the gospel? What's kind of the nuts and bolts of that? Because again, there's a lot of confusion on what that means. And so please turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And I think in this passage, we're going to get a little bit more clear picture of what is the mission of the church and what is the mission of missionaries. This is a very famous passage, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It is famously called the Great Commission. This is Christ's final instructions to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. And as we look at this text, we'll find that this is not just Christ's mission that he's giving to the disciples, but to all the disciples of Jesus Christ. So here's what he says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so as we look at this text, there's a lot of different things that we're called to do, but the main command in this text is found in verse 19, and that is to make disciples of all nations. To make disciples of all nations. That is the primary mission of the church and of missionaries. And then he goes on, and all this rest is kind of a description of how we make disciples. And so there's really three things that we are to do to make disciples. And the first one is we need to proclaim the gospel to unbelievers. And so this is a little bit more implied in our text, but if we want people to obey Christ and follow his commands and be baptized, they need to know who Jesus is. They need to trust in that message of salvation. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." But 10:14 says, "How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to know to call upon the name of the Lord unless someone goes and tells them who the Lord is?" And so one of the primary things that the church is to do, that missionaries are to do, is to proclaim the gospel to unbelievers. But notice the mission of making disciples doesn't end there. Oftentimes, in certain circles, that's seen like that's the end of the mission. Like, okay, I got them to pray a prayer or to sign a card or to raise their hand. They're in the door. They're good. My work here is done. And that is not how Jesus says we are to go and make disciples. And so look at the second thing that he says. You are to go, therefore, in verse 19, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's not only bringing them to saving faith, but the idea is as they come to saving faith, the next step in that is that they would be baptized. And baptism is oftentimes we think of it as something just that me personally is doing, but the way that the Bible speaks about baptism, the way that we think about baptism is not just me making a personal decision, me proclaiming my faith. It's actually the church that's also affirming my faith. And we're baptized into the church. We're welcomed into membership. And so what Jesus is getting at here is we are to make disciples, proclaim the gospel, have people come in faith, and then bring them into the church where they can thrive, where they can grow in their faith. And this is pretty straightforward for us as a church. We have a church here, and so we regularly are welcoming new members into our church. We're having baptisms, and they're getting to become part of our church. But sometimes on the mission field, there's not always a local church in that area. And we're going to be talking about some of our missionaries' work, but we have one missionary in particular that they're going to cities where they don't even know if there's any Christians in the city, let alone churches. And so part of the work of missions that is important is planting churches. They proclaim the gospel, and as new people come to faith in Christ, then they begin a church together so that they can grow and thrive in their faith. And the last way that we are to make disciples is found in verse 20. We are to instruct believers towards maturity. So verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so again, there's that ongoing care and discipleship, but baptism isn't the finish line, but we're wanting to bring the people in our church to continued maturity in Christ. We see that in our text. He says, teaching them. And so that's instruction, that's knowledge, but it's not just head knowledge. They are, what does he say? Observing all that he's commanded them. And so we want to teach people in our church. We want to instruct them in Bible and theology. We want our missionaries to do that too. And we want to make clear to them that the Bible, as you learn about it, it is meant to be lived out. And we're to live in a way that is faithful to Christ's commandments. And so part of the work of the church is to strengthen those in the local church. Part of the work of missionaries is to strengthen local churches in the missions field that they find themselves in. So how does this work together? Because the local church and missionaries, we have the same mission, but we don't always do it in the same way. Well, the way that the local church is to do this is to make disciples in its community. And that's in our mission statement. If you have a bulletin on the front of that bulletin in very fancy letters, it says this. This is the mission of our church. We exist to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of our church. We have it on there, the bulletin, not just because it looks nice, but because that's our philosophy of how we do ministry. And so everything that we do, we want to filter through, is this furthering that mission of making and maturing disciples? But as believers, this Great Commission tells us that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, not just in the community that we find ourselves in. Acts 1:8, Jesus instructs his disciples. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we were to paraphrase that for our church. It's, you will be my witnesses in Farmington and in Metro Detroit and in Michigan and in the United States and to the ends of the earth. And so our work as a church is not just to be concerned with our context, but with reaching the nations. And for that, we need missionaries. What missionaries are, they are people who are sent by the church to do the work of making disciples outside of their normal context. They're doing it in a different culture, in a different language, in a different geography, and in that different context, they're able to evangelize the lost and establish and strengthen churches. And our job as a local church is to help them do that work. We need missionaries because there are certain places that we can't really reach. If we want to make disciples in Spain as a church, that's going to be really hard for us to do because most of us can't just pick up and move to Spain. And many of us don't know Spanish. I took Spanish in high school. The only thing I remember is no hablé español. That is not going to be helpful in making disciples in Spain. But we as a church can take the Roys who know Spanish fluently, who actually spent considerable time in Spain and know the culture and have a heart to go there, and we can send them and support them and encourage them so they can do that work. And they can help us as a church fulfill this commission of reaching not just our community, but the nations. This partnership between the gospel, in the gospel, between the local church is modeled very clearly in the early church. We see this in the book of Acts, where the church in Antioch, they commission Paul to go out on his mission work. They send him out. They support him. And what does Paul do? He does the same thing everywhere he goes. He preaches the gospel, and as people come to faith, he establishes new churches. And then a big part of his ministry is not just building new churches, but visiting those churches, sending letters to those churches to continue to strengthen them in their work. In our young adult Bible study, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and this is really, this played out. We find as we're studying the book of Colossians that Paul never actually went to the church in Colossae. Paul went to the church in Ephesus, and he shared the gospel there, and one of the people that came to faith was a man named Epaphras. And Epaphras then took that gospel message and went 100 miles away to the city of Colossae, and he shared that message, and guess what? People believed in it, and they began a new church, which is the church in Colossae. And this is really the story of our church as well. Contrary to what Mormons may believe, Jesus never came to the United States to preach the gospel. The gospel message got to our country, it got to here in Michigan because believers were faithful to follow this pattern, to proclaim the gospel, to go out in new places, to establish churches and strengthen them so that they could in turn send out people to new places and share the gospel there. And so if we want to partner well with our missionaries, we have to make sure we understand what is our mission. What are we working towards so that we can work together? And we know that that mission is to make disciples of all nations. And so that's the first way, and that is my longest point, so you can be reassured there. But this is so important and so foundational, because if we don't get this right, we're not going to have the right expectations for our missionaries. We're not going to send the right kind of missionaries out, and we're not going to be able to run alongside and work together. And so the first way in which we can partner with our missionaries is we can understand the mutual mission that we have with them. The second way that we can partner with our missionaries is to know our missionaries. So go ahead and turn back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at the relationship that Paul has with the church in Philippi. And this is seen throughout this book, that they have this close-knit relationship, but it's especially apparent in Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Here's what Paul says. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And so we see just from those few verses that Paul has this affection. They have this relationship with the church in Philippi. They love and care for him. They know what's going on in his life. They know that he's in prison. And that's why this letter was written, is they're sending people and gifts to encourage him in that situation. And so if we want to partner with our missionaries well, we have to know them. We have to know who they are. We have to know the ministry that they're doing. And one of the ways that we as a church have tried to make that a little bit easier is instead of supporting 100 missionaries at $10 a month so we can show how many pins we have on the world map, we're supporting fewer missionaries at more support so that we can actually be able to build relationships with them and be more involved in their ministries. So I want to just really quickly introduce to you the missionaries of our church. Some of you might already be very familiar with them. Some of you might not. So I'm just going to real quickly go and we're going to meet our missionaries. So the first missionaries that I want you to meet are Cliff and Allie Reynolds. Cliff and Allie Reynolds, they minister in England. They're a wonderful couple. They have four kids and they've been in England since 2011. They've been serving in England long enough that all their kids have British accents, which is pretty awesome. And so they are involved in church planting. They have already partnered with an existing church to plant a new church, and that church now is running well. And so now they're actually working and planting a second church. And they are very active in helping that church get started and also in evangelism. One of the ways that they do that, they've been doing that, is through American football. They're teaching British people how to play football and how to actually cheer on your team, because British people don't really do that as much. And so they're working to minister in England. The next missionaries I want you to meet is the Roys. Jeremy and Amy Roy, they are serving in Spain. Pastor and Ben and Leah just got back from visiting them. They have three kids, and we originally started supporting them as they were serving in the Dominican Republic. But they had some health issues, and they had to relocate from the Dominican Republic to Spain, and we have continued to support them as they've moved locations. Their hope is to eventually plant a church and be involved with that. But currently, their main focus is supporting a local church that is there. And Jeremy is a very smart guy, very well-educated. And so one of the things he's doing is theological training. And they're also trying to evangelize the people around them in their neighborhood, in their community. The next missionaries is SBI, Seminario Baptista Internacional. I told you my Spanish was not the best. SBI for short. And so that is a seminary that we support. And so we actually support the seminary there that is training pastors that are from all over the Dominican Republic. And they're equipping them and training them so that they can take that training and strengthen the churches that they're in. James Peavy and his family are our main contacts there. We got to visit them a couple summers ago and help them just in work around the seminary. And so that is what they're doing. That is their ministry. Next is the Simwakas. Pastor Ben talked a little bit about who they are. They're ministering in South Africa, and they are training pastors in order to, again, go out and strengthen their own churches. They're also very involved in their local church. They're helping with their young adults there. And our Give It All campaign, as we talked about, is directed towards their ministry and helping equip them in that seminary to continue training pastors. And then we have Andrew and Alyssa. And you may be trying to squint really hard and see them. They're not in that picture. And that is intentional. Andrew and Alyssa, they are serving as missionaries in North Africa, and they're serving in a closed country, meaning a country that if that country knew that they were there to do missions work, it would kick them out of that country. It is a very dark place, and it's a place where it's Christians are being arrested, where it's actually illegal to share the gospel with someone else. And so they're going into that dark place, and that's why I can't show you their picture or their last name, just in case this would come up and we would blow their cover, because they're in there, they're running a business, and that's their reason for being in the country. And so they are serving there, and they're just a really amazing family, and just are in a place where they don't know if there's any believers, and they are trying to share the gospel with people and to do that in covert ways, so to avoid the legal ramifications, to avoid getting kicked out of the country. And they've already done that in another city where they were able to disciple people, proclaim the gospel, and start a church, and they had to leave that city because, fortunately, a person in their church ended up being a government informant, and so they had to leave and go to a different area. And so they have just a really amazing ministry where they are trailblazing in places where people have not heard the gospel at all. And so that is what they're doing there. Lastly, the Verzas. George and Rodica Verza, they're based in Romania, and they are serving throughout Europe, but their main ministry is to train believers on how to share the gospel. And so they do a lot of work in putting on these conferences and putting on these workshops to teach churches how to evangelize those in their community. And that's not just something that they teach, that's something that they model. They're very active in personal evangelism in their own lives. And when the war in Ukraine first started and refugees flooded into Romania, they took some of them in to care for them, to provide housing for them, but also to provide opportunities to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been serving there faithfully for many years, and they're going to be nearing retirement here, but we're continuing to support them until that happens. And so get to know our missionaries. There's a lot of ways we can do this. You can sign up to get their newsletters. We have, for many of them, their contact information in the church directory. You can email them. You can ask them questions about how you can be praying for them or encouraging them. You can talk with them when they come to visit every few years and want to get to know them and hear more of the work that they're doing. We want to be a church that actually knows our missionaries. And so I've given you this brief introduction, but I hope that our knowledge of these missionaries will go deeper than that so we can truly partner with them well. And that brings us to the third way that we can partner with our missionaries, and that is we can pray for our missionaries. If we want to partner with our missionaries well, a key component of that is going to be praying for the missionaries that we have. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, it says this, Paul is talking to the church and he says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." So we see in this text that the Philippians are praying for Paul. Paul knows that they're praying for him. That's an expectation, and they are faithful in that work and supporting and partnering with him in that way. And we actually see this very often in Paul's letters, that he asks these churches to pray for him in his missionary work. In the church, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he asked them to pray that God would give him wisdom and boldness in proclaiming the gospel. In the church in Colossae, he asked that that church would pray for him for opportunities, open doors to minister God's word, and that he would do so clearly. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for God's word to speed ahead, and he also prays that they would pray that he would be protected from evil men. And so we see a prayer, not just for the furtherance of the gospel, but for the safety of him in his missions work. It was a very clear expectation in the early church that missionaries would be prayed for by the churches supporting them, and we should do the same. So that's why we try to incorporate that into our services. That's why we try to have our children and their children's ministries have time where they pray for our missionaries. And if you noticed in our church newsletter, we have a prayer request section. We have a section dedicated to praying for our missionaries with different requests, specific ways in which you can be praying for them in the work that they're doing. We've got 6 missionaries. And we have one outreach that we support, CareNet Pregnancy Center. So one really easy way, if you want to do this, if you want to be more involved in this, pray for one of our missionaries or our outreach CareNet every day. There's 7 together, 1 for each day of the week. And that could be just a tremendous way that we could encourage our missionaries. And not only that, but God works through our prayers. Paul eagerly wants the Philippians to pray for him. He wants these different churches to pray for him because he knows that their prayers do something. And so if we want the gospel to go forth to all the nations, one of the ways that we can do that is to pray regularly for our missionaries. And so that's the third way. If we want to partner with our missionaries well, we must pray regularly for our missionaries. And the fourth way is we are to give to our missionaries. We are to give to our missionaries. You can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at 15 through 19 here. And we're going to see in this passage that the Philippians, they don't just know about Paul's needs. They're not just praying for his needs. They're actively giving of their own resources to meet him and to meet him in those needs. So look at starting in chapter 4, verse 15. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent my help for my needs once and again. Not that I am seeking the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply your every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To the God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we see that the church in Philippi is active in supporting and giving of their finances, of their resources to help Paul in his missions work. And we see many different principles of how they do that. In verse 16, we see that they're giving regularly. He says in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They were regularly finding out what Paul's needs were and how they could use their resources to meet those again and again and again. And so we are to give regularly to support missions work. Notice also in verse 18, we see that they gave generously. That they didn't just give the bare minimum, but he says in verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. They have given him more even than he needs. They haven't just given him the bare minimum to get by. And we actually see in 2 Corinthians 8 where Paul talks about the church in Philippi and their giving. And he says that they didn't give because they were loaded. They actually gave out of their poverty. They actually gave above and beyond their needs. And they did it joyfully. It was like, they were like begging, can we give more? And Paul's like, no, like, please, no more. You've already given so much. And so often I've heard people say, and I've been guilty of thinking this way myself, of, well, I'm going to give more when I start making more money, when I pay off those student loans, when I buy the house, when the mortgage is paid down a little bit, when I can put my kids through college, when I finish paying off that car, all these different things that we give. And yet we see this church in Philippi that's giving out of their poverty, not out of their abundance. And so if they can give faithfully, even in their poverty, how can we excuse ourselves? This is something that God has called us to do. This is a way that we can show that the money that we have, the resources that we have, are not ours, they're His. And the wonderful thing in this is we see in verse 19 what He says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And so what Paul is saying to the Philippians is what you have given, even to your own hurt, even above your means, so maybe some of your needs are difficult to be met, God is going to meet those needs out of the riches that are in Christ. And so we are to give generously and regularly and sacrificially and eagerly towards missions. And there's many ways that we can do this as a church. You can give towards our church because at least 10% of the church budget goes to missions. That's something that we've committed ourselves to. And so when you give to the church, part of what you give goes to the missionaries that we support. You can also do this by giving towards Give It All Sunday. We talked about this project. We would love to bless Christ Seminary with generous giving, so they can care for the pastors that are coming to receive that training. And we want to do that so those pastors can be well-equipped and can bring the gospel to all different places. But you can give not just financially. There's many other ways that you can give to our missionaries. You can send them birthday cards or care packages, little things that remind them that they have a church that's behind them, that's supporting their work. It doesn't have to be anything real fancy. I heard a missionary from Argentina talking about them getting a jar of peanut butter from a church, and they were so excited because they don't have peanut butter in Argentina. And so we can ask them, what do you need? What are you missing from back home? What are little things that we can provide to show that we care for you and we're supporting you in your work? You can host missionary families when they come to visit. You can consider giving up your time and money to visit them on a short-term trip or just to go and encourage them. We would love that. And they would love that as well. And so let's be a church that partners with our missionaries in giving generously. And lastly, let's partner with our missionaries well by supporting our missionaries as an act of worship. Supporting our missionaries as an act of worship. And we're going to find that we do these things, we care for our missionaries well, not just for their sake, not just maybe to feel good about ourselves, but ultimately we do that out of worship to God. Go ahead and look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. He says this, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." And so don't miss what he says about their gift. He says that the gift that they're giving to Paul, the way that they're supporting Paul in his missions work, is not just a gift to him, it is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And so ultimately, we want to care for our missionaries well because we want to worship the Lord. We want to do something that it says here is pleasing to God. And Paul ends this passage, this section here with verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I think what he's pointing us towards is when we partner with our missionaries well, when we're supporting them and caring for them, that is bringing glory to God. That is the primary reason that we're doing it. And so that should motivate us in our missions work. When it's hard sometimes to maybe be thinking about our missionaries with the problems and issues that we have in our own life. When it's easy to maybe just out of sight, out of mind, to be reminded that when we're supporting of our missionaries and giving to them and praying for them, we are actually worshiping God. We're actually glorifying God. And so let us desire to please and worship God, and let that motivate us to care for our missionaries well. Many of us have heard of William Carey, the father of modern missions, as he's often called, and he went into India, pioneering missions work. He did amazing things in India, and there were many churches that were begun, many people that came to faith because of the work of William Carey. But many people have not heard of William Carey's dear friend, Andrew Fuller. As Carey was preparing to set sail for India, he knew the darkness that he was going into. He knew the difficulties that laid ahead. And so he turned to his friend Andrew and he said this. He says, "I will go down into this pit if you will hold the rope. I will go down into this pit if you will hold the rope." And Fuller responded and said, "I most certainly will." And he did. Fuller never went to India, but he supported and partnered with William Carey in his work, regularly praying for him, earnestly praying for Carey, writing letters to encourage Carey as he went through hardship and loss. Fuller gave sacrificially of his finances, and not only that, he went around the country trying to encourage other churches to give towards this mission that Carey was a part of. And when Fuller died, William Carey wrote this, "I feel his loss more than I can express. He was the main spring of our mission." He didn't say it was his fellow missionaries on the field. He didn't say it was maybe local churches. He said the main spring of our mission behind our missions work in the advance of the gospel was my friend Andrew Fuller and the work that he did to partner with me, to support me in the missions work. And that's what I want our missionaries to say about us. And I hope that you want that too, that as our missionaries are making disciples and some doing it in very dark and very difficult places, that we as a church would hold the rope, that we would be the main spring of their mission. And I pray that some of us may be called to go to the missions field and maybe even to go and to work alongside our missionaries. But for those of us who are not called to missions, for those of us who are here in this church, may we faithfully live out the mission of God where he has placed us. And may we partner well with our missionaries. May we support them in their work as an act of worship to God. And so I want to just close and make this real practical. I don't want you to walk away feeling bad that you don't do enough for our missionaries and then changing nothing. I want you to think of one thing, just one thing that you can do to better partner with the missionaries of our church. Maybe that's subscribing to the newsletter and actually reading it so that you can hear about the work that's going on, so that God will, through that, produce in you a heart for the missions work that's happening there. Maybe that's committing with you and your family to praying regularly for our missionaries, praying for one a day, every day at dinner time, whatever that might be. And maybe that's giving generously to support the work of our missionaries, sending a care package or even giving generously towards Give It All. Think of one way that you and your family could support and care better and partner better with missionaries, and do it. My prayer for our church, for me, is that we would be a church that holds the rope for our missionaries, That we would be a church that knows who our missionaries are, that prays for them, that gives generously towards them, and that does all of this as an act of worship to God, so that we can make disciples of all nations for His glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the opportunity that we have to be partners in the gospel with our missionaries. And what a glorious and humble thing it is that you have given the task of proclaiming Your name. You have given the task of making disciples to the nations, to people like us. And we pray that we would be faithful to do that work. And we thank You that You promise to be with us in that work, even to the end of the age. We thank You for the picture we get in Revelation 7, that work will be completed by You, as someday people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be gathered together with God, worshiping Him. But we're not there yet. And we know that there are still many places that have not been touched by the gospel. We know that there are many churches that are weak and struggling that need strengthening. And we're so thankful for the many missionaries that we have that are doing the work of making disciples faithfully all over the globe. And we pray that You would help us to partner well with them in that work. That it could be said of us as a church that we are a church that loves our missionaries. That we are a church that missionaries are so grateful to partner with because of the way that we care for them. And we pray that all this would be done so that Your gospel would be advanced, so that disciples would be made from all nations, so that Your name would be glorified. And we pray these things in Your name. Amen.